to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, my partner Tom Crawford, en route to Ann Arbor for that titanic tussle, Illinois at Michigan. He's got 25 years at the Lansing State Journal and had an opportunity to work for some outstanding sports editors, including the guy who hired me, and I still don't know exactly what he saw, Ed Sinesco. We talked about Jerry Ahern, who now runs Yahoo Sports, very good friend, lives here in Williamston, could live anywhere in the country, and stayed here in mid-Michigan. And our next guest, Jeff Rivers, a guy who came from Winona, Minnesota, and came to East Lansing, or came to Lansing, and was assistant sports editor for a long time under Steve Klein, and then took over and had some great days at the Lansing State Journal before he returned home, and now assistant sports editor of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hi, Jack, how are you?
Just fine. I guess it's asking a lot for you to try to solve the Gophers' problems and the Vikings' woes in one installment here, but let's start with Minnesota football. And you were optimistic about the Tim Brewster era, as I was.
Yeah, when he came in, he said all the right things and had a lot of people fired up. A lot of people, you know, the skeptics really doubted him, but I think he had a lot of people who would normally sit on the sidelines going, this guy's talking something different, and I think this might be the guy. And, you know, it's proved to be not true.
What happened? Where did it start to go south?
Well, I guess from the very get-go, I mean, they had such a poor first season after, you know, Glenn Mason had sort of set a very steady program.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was 7-6, 8 wins, you know.
Yeah.
He even had one, I think he reached double figures 1 year.
Yeah.
And he set a standard, but, you know, when you keep, as the Spartans know, when you keep it going the same kind of bowl, it gets kind of boring.
Right.
And they were looking to take the next step. Well, and this is what this guy was saying. Well, instead, he takes a huge step backwards the first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you thought, well, you know, he's getting his own players. But then, and then he started to progress. But after stepping up, stepped back down again. And I think after the another step down, then you started to wonder, because it was his players and it wasn't Mason's players.
Right, right.
And all the best players on the team were Mason's players. And so, and his big deal was supposed to be a great recruiter.
Right.
And when you didn't see any of this on the field, then you began to worry.
Well, we saw it with Ohio State and expectations. 9-3 with Earl Bruce wasn't good enough. We saw it at Michigan. There was a lot of discontent with Lloyd Carr. And now be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. Is it possible that Minnesota football was as good as it's going to get under Glenn Mason?
Well, the only thing you can say about that is, and you can always look at Iowa and Wisconsin.
Right.
And look and see, all right, because since we're out, we're not in a big media center or anything like this, how do we compete against the big, you know, Penn States, the,
right,
you know, the powers? Well, if Iowa and Wisconsin can do it, why can't we? We actually have a better situation with, you know, a bigger town, nicer place to live, bigger media market, everything, that we should be able to compete and actually do better than those schools that have done it. So I would say, while you think, boy, could it ever happen, all you have to do is look at those two schools and say, sure, it can.
Yeah, nearly 50 years since Minnesota's last Rose Bowl appearance, the longest drought of any Big Ten team. Is it as simple, Jeff, as Minnesota finding its Hayden Fry or its Barry Alvarez?
I think it is, because that's all it took for them. You know what? It's kind of hard to believe, and I never knew about it because it was before my time, but this used to be, before the Vikings came, this was a huge Gopher town.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody supported them. And so, you know, if you get the coach, the town will get right behind it, because they want, and you can see it in the basketball program,
it's, yeah,
very well supported.
Yeah.
The football program would be too, but they just have never been given a reason for the last, since what, 1967?
Right,
you know,
the last co-championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all it'll take. And like I said, I mean, Brewster had a lot of people excited, and it just didn't happen.
Well, we have seen Joel Maturi and his thought process with Tubby Smith, and he has talked about wanting to make a splash We also saw the name Phil Fulmer bandied about, so some quotes from Knoxville, and our friend Mike Griffith interviewed him and found out that he would certainly entertain the opportunity to come to a place like Minneapolis. But is there a name that is being speculated a lot there in terms of 2011?
Well, you know, their ideal is if they could get Jim Harbaugh, Stanford. I mean, yeah. that's the gold standard for somebody that they get a guy who's established,
right,
and young and coming up at the same time.
Why would someone leave Stanford and go to Minnesota?
That's the question. I mean, it seems to me to be a little bit more of a parallel move, but you know, he played football in the Midwest, and his dad coached in the Midwest, I believe. So why not, for that? But who knows?
I heard another name this week, and this is probably way off the radar, but I just thought I'd throw it out. It looks like Mark Richt may have worn out his welcome at Georgia, and there are some people who would love to see a change there. He's had tremendous success, and maybe he would welcome the same opportunity that Tubby Smith did.
Well, anytime there's a coach from the SEC, you have to take notice and take a look right away, because that's already, the two things they want, because what they did last time was they went for an unproven.
Right.
And it just didn't work. So you know they're not going to do that.
Right.
So this one is going to be someone who's established. So I'm sure if he were interested, I'm sure we would be interested as well.
Jeff, you probably had staffers do stories like this and breaking down what happened to Minnesota football. Certainly you've lived it in both communities, but I have a theory about Michigan State and Minnesota. They were adversely impacted by integration more than any football programs in the country. If you look at Minnesota's great success and you look at Michigan State's great success in the 50s and 60s, they had a preponderance of African-American athletes from the South. And when those players could stay home and play in the ACC and the SEC, Minnesota never really adjusted to that, and it took Michigan State a long time, and some could say it never really adjusted to that.
That's absolutely true. I mean, you're almost hurt by your own open-mindedness early on. Both programs were much more open to taking players. And then when everybody caught up, then there went their great advantage, and they've never been able to find that next advantage to equal the playing field.
All right, let's talk for a minute about the Minnesota Vikings. And you're a diehard Vikings fan, Timberwolves fan. You were at the T-Wolves game last night, right?
I was, yes, sad but true.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Vikings and a team that I thought would win the divisional title, if not more than that. I thought Brett Favre had one more year in him, and I thought Randy Moss would come in. And when I heard that he was going to the Vikings, I thought that would solve some problems instead of create them. It's been kind of a mess. Where does it stand now?
Well, I think this is where you're going to find out from this point on. Their schedule has been really tough.
Right.
It was set up. When I looked at the beginning of the season, I didn't think they'd be 2-5, but 3-4, I wouldn't go, oh, that's disappointing. It's disappointing because you want your team to do better than you think they would. But if you look at it game by game, they probably, besides losing to Miami at home, probably have lost the games they should have lost and won the games they should have won.
Right.
So they're a game behind, in my mind, of what I thought they'd be at this point. Now, the rest of this time, for the next 7 weeks, they should be favored in all those games. So, the problem with that is very seldom do you win every game you're supposed to in the NFL.
Right.
But if, say, they go the rest of the season, if they lose two more games, 9-7, that may get them in the playoffs. So I don't think they're completely out of it, but they've put themselves in a situation where they can't afford to lose any games that they're not that they shouldn't lose. They've got to win every one, and probably, depending on what Green Bay does, and Chicago, if they're hot, then not only will they have to win every game they're supposed to win, but probably steal a game or two as well.
You've seen some very effective quarterbacks play for the Vikings. Is Brett Favre done?
I don't think he's done. His last game was his most effective of the season, and he looked like the quarterback he was last year. Early on, he was rusty, and he had no threats. Once you lost Sidney Rice, that was huge.
Right.
They just didn't have that go-to guy to bail him out. And he's famous for taking somebody like that. You know, and he takes risks, and he'll throw it up to those guys. Well, when he was throwing up to these guys, not only weren't they catching the ball, but they weren't stopping someone when the ball was in the air. And so a pass that normally, like last year, to Sidney Rice would be a touchdown or a catch, or at the least an incomplete pass,
right.
Those were being intercepted. So I think early on it was a combination. He was a little rusty, which was his own fault for not coming to camp, and just no downfield threats.
When does Sidney Rice return?
We're hoping that he'll be back in 2 weeks for Chicago.
All right, you talk about losing games. Minnesota has done that. You talk about losing players. Apparently, Minnesota has done that. Randy Moss wasn't there long enough to realize where his locker was. But in terms of losing a team, has Brad Childress done that? And with the revelation that Ziggy Wolf considered firing him on the whole Randy Moss problem, what does that do the rest of the way?
Well, I think you'll find out. It will be very evident Sunday. If they don't go out and win and look good, then I think it'll tell you that he's lost the team, because they're playing Arizona at home. They're a better team than Arizona. You know, so if they don't come out and perform well, that'll tell you everything you need to know. It'll be just pretty obvious, I would say.
And they get to go against Larry Fitzgerald, a Minneapolis product, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we can talk about the Gophers, we can talk about the T-Wolves, we can talk about the Vikings, but I have to tell you that I enjoy watching the Minnesota Twins as much as any baseball team. And I haven't always been a Twins fan, but they do things the right way. I think they get the most out of what they have in terms of market size. It's always fun to watch them go up against bigger market teams and play the way that they do. And I think really an example to anyone who says the Yankees have to win it all every year, you can't compete. Minnesota has proven that you can compete, and it's not that they don't draw crowds or have a great facility, but with all the right decisions, it's doable in Major League Baseball.
It is, to a point, through the regular season for us. You know, we've been great through the regular season for going on, well, not great, but good to very good for the last 6-7 years.
But if Texas can beat the Yankees, Jeff, so can the Twins.
You would think so, but it's just
it's a when psychological
we get up against
thing
the pinstripes, something happens mentally. I mean, because before it was, you know, I think it was personnel. I mean, they just didn't have the personnel matchup.
Right.
But this year, they did.
Well, and they did it without Justin Morneau, too.
Right. So. And they had no problems, although they did. It's a little deceiving because the second half of the year they had a much easier schedule.
Right.
And so they were beating a lot of teams that they were better than. When they came up against Yankees, they didn't have better personnel than Yankees, but they were in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And, you know, in baseball, all that takes is good pitching, as Texas proved, you know, and then can take care of business.
Well, I heard a lot of people whining about this World Series. And I just smiled. I said, just tell me when the Phillies-Yankees series starts. Because it was great to me to see those teams knocked out and to see some new blood in the series. And maybe they weren't all the marquee names, but that was just fine with me. So,
absolutely. It's nice to see anybody but the Yankees, only because you see the Yankees all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a revelation, really, because we handled Texas fairly well when we played them.
Yeah.
And then to see them come out and perform so crisply. And, you know, and then they get in the series, and all of a sudden they don't have the game.
Right.
It's
right.
Baseball. It's not like in baseball, the best team doesn't always win the
exactly.
World Series.
Exactly.
You just never know. So.
And that's the thing in some other sports. You know, you play enough times, the best teams are going to win. In baseball, you get a hot pitcher, you get a bounce of the ball, you know, it hits a rock, anything can happen, and you get a call, and next thing you know, you're up 3-1. So, Jeff Rivers, assistant sports editor of the Minneapolis Star Tribune and former sports editor of the Lansing State Journal, good friend, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. Jeff, great talking with you. Good luck to the Vikings.
Thanks. Go Sparty.
We will be back with our final segment, and we'll have our picks. Tom is going to join us from the road, and we're going to call some Big Ten games, five of them, and some non-conference games as well. We'll be right back. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.